Welcome to the Keynote Podcast from Kingdom Faith. Today's message is by Pastor Colin Urquhart.
John chapter 8, verse 51. I tell you the truth, anyone who believes my word and lives by it will never die eternally. Whoever believes, anyone who believes my word and lives by it, literally continues in my word, will never die eternally. That is a verse about faithfulness. And God spoke to us on Sunday morning about being a faithful people. He needs a faithful people. And that this is going to be a key word in this coming year, faithfulness. Because God Himself is faithful. He can only outwork His purposes through a faithful people. So our desire is to be faithful. Yes. You remember when Jesus taught the parable of those that were entrusted with various amounts? Those that went and multiplied what was entrusted to them received the accolade from the master. Well done, good and faithful servant. Enter into the joy of your Lord. There are no rewards for faithlessness. There are no rewards for being unfaithful. But there is great reward for being faithful. You will never see death. You will never die eternally. And so God has given you a new birth, has put His Spirit within you, the Spirit of truth to guide you into all the truth of His Word so that you will never die eternally. But you will express that Word, you will reveal that Word, you will live that Word, you will continue in that Word to your dying day. And you will be faithful in doing that. Now, there is nothing faithful about the flesh. Your flesh wants to please self. Faithfulness is pleasing God. So this is the dilemma or the conflict that always goes on within believers. Whether to please self or to be faithful in pleasing God. Now, we saw on Sunday that faithfulness is outworked in obedience. Jesus was faithful to His Father because He was always living in obedience to the Father. So the only way for us to be faithful is to be obedient. And we know that that obedience comes out of faith and it comes out of love. We want to be able to stand before the Lord and hear Him say to us, "Well done, good and faithful servant." Now, we have to come to terms, therefore, with this word servant. Because without servanthood, you cannot be faithful. Now, Jesus taught a very important principle about faithfulness. He said, if you are faithful in small things, then you can be entrusted to be faithful in bigger things. But if you cannot be trusted to be faithful in small things, what is the point of expecting to be trusted with greater things? So, in whatever situation God places us, whatever set of circumstances arises in our lives, God is looking to us to be faithful, or a faithful servant in those circumstances. So while you're here at college, those of you who are students, God wants you to be a faithful servant while you're here. If you can't be trusted to be a faithful servant when you're here in this environment, what makes you think that you will be faithful out there in the world where you don't have the same love and faith support? So this is a training ground for faithfulness. Now, let's unpack that and be very, very practical as to its implications. We saw on Sunday that to be faithful is to be trustworthy, reliable, dependable. So in our relationships with others, and you have many relationships here at college, and those of us who are on the team, we have many relationships on the team. Here is wonderful experience, practice for proving faithful to all those that we live with, work with, study with. That we each have the reputation of being reliable, dependable. That there is a kind of trust and security that produces a tremendous unity. Because there can't be unity without trust. And there can't be trust without faithfulness. Now, you see, it isn't a question of being faithful while it suits us. It's even being faithful when it doesn't suit us. I've probably mentioned before sometime. Some years ago, somebody gave me a computer program for Christmas. A crazy thing to give me for Christmas. Which only endorses the fact that I like to buy my own Christmas presents and then other people can pay for them. So that I get what I want, not crazy things that I don't want. But this was a computer program by which you flew a jet. You know, you could press all the right buttons and so on. So I took off from Heathrow bound for Seattle. I was flying this jumbo. And I am not in any sense computer friendly. And of course, all kinds of unexpected things happen during this program. But I was feeling pretty good. I was doing it on a laptop, and it said that it's more difficult to do it on a laptop, so I thought I was doing even better than good. And I was just coming in and was about to land in Seattle when a sudden crosswind hit me, according to this program, and I landed adjacent to the runway. And then up came the judgment. You have crash-landed and failed. And I thought, blow me, I got the jolly thing all the way across the Atlantic, all the way across America, and just the last minute, this jolly crosswind comes and I crash the thing and fail. But you see, your Christian life can be like that.
Absolutely. Very good.
You can be faithful and faithful and faithful and faithful, then something can hit you like a crosswind and you fail. And then there's damage spiritually. Okay, it's not the end, because God forgives us, picks us up, dusts us down, and we get airborne again. But you see, faithfulness means a persistence in doing what God wants.
Yes.
You see, as I look back, I was saying on Sunday how wonderful it has been that all the way through the history of Kingdom Faith, God has given us such faithful servants, especially on the team. People, you know, I've just been surrounded by faithful people throughout the history of Kingdom Faith. And I'm very thankful to God for that. But there have been a few cases of fallout where people were faithful and faithful and faithful for a period of time, and then they got hit by a crosswind. And all of a sudden, they stopped being faithful, reliable, dependable. They wanted to do their own thing instead of God's thing. Now that's sad, but it's a warning for all of us, isn't it? That just because you're faithful today will not mean that you'll be faithful tomorrow, unless you choose to be faithful tomorrow. And the next day. And the next day. And whatever decisions you have to make, whatever situations are placed before you by the Lord, you will prove faithful in doing what God wants you to do in that particular situation. Now, okay, all of us are going to make mistakes sometimes, inadvertently. That's all part of the business of learning, and learning how to hear God and respond to the leading of the Holy Spirit. God doesn't punish us for any of those things, because he knows that we're all on a discipleship training course with him. But the points that you will live to regret are any points at which you are deliberately not faithful. When you make a conscious decision to please yourself rather than the Lord. It's not accidental, it's not inadvertent, it's a deliberate choice. Even though you know what the Word of God says, you choose to do something that is not God's Word. At that moment, you are not being faithful. At that moment, you are not continuing in the Word. At that moment, you are not living out the Word. And okay, so when we get into situations like that, we repent and God forgives and restores. But a faithful person will learn from such mistakes and will say, I am not, by the grace of God, going to repeat those mistakes. Because the desire of my heart is to be faithful. Now you see, our faithfulness is only a response to God's faithfulness. Listen what Paul says at the end of 1 Thessalonians. And may God himself, the God of peace, cause you to be holy in every respect of your lives, so that everything about you in spirit, soul, and body will be kept blameless in God's eyes at the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. He who has called you is the faithful one, and he will work this in you. So you see, what is the faithful one working in you? Faithfulness. And how does the scripture define that faithfulness? Well, causing you to be holy in every aspect of your lives, so that everything about you in spirit, soul, and body will be kept blameless in God's eyes at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. Now, the great encouragement is that God, the faithful one, is at work within you to do that. So it's not you trying to be faithful to God and to his plans and purposes for your life, but it's trusting the faithful one who lives within you to cause you to be faithful. So, as I explained on Sunday, when we see in the Paul's description of the fruit of the Spirit, that word faithfulness, actually in the Greek, it is simply the word faith. Faith is a fruit of the Spirit. Faithfulness is putting faith into action. And faith in action is trusting the Lord. So as we trust the Lord in action, he enables us to be faithful in whatever situation he has placed us. If we trust in ourselves, we will fail.
Yeah, absolutely.
We will be hit by all kinds of crosswinds and we will be diverted from the course and the purpose of God. But while we keep that trust in him, he will work in us as the faithful one to keep us walking in his way, keeping us on course to fulfill his plan and his purpose. It all comes down, therefore, to dependence upon the Lord. The only way to live a faithful life is to depend upon Jesus. And as you depend upon Jesus, so you will be faithful. But you see, Jesus says, "My sheep hear my voice and follow me." But he also says that the one who follows me will have to deny himself. He will have to deny those things that will cut across faithfulness. He will have to withstand all the temptations of the devil to stop us being faithful. Now, what does the scripture say about that? God is faithful, and he will not allow us to be tempted beyond that which we're able to endure. Now, you see, that ability of God to ensure that we're not tempted beyond what we're able to resist, that is the outworking of his faithfulness. God is faithful, and he will not allow us to be tempted beyond. Because his plan, his purpose for your life is to be faithful. To be faithful to his plan, not your plans. To his desires, not your desires. So, we've got everything going for us. God, the faithful one, is working within us to keep us blameless to the end. Why? Because he wants us to inherit eternal life.
Yes.
At the same time, God is faithful, and he will not allow us to be tempted in any way that we're not able to resist, because he does not want us diverted from that faithful course that he sets before us. As I was saying on Sunday, when you're in church leadership, what you value above anything else, above anything else in the people that work with you, is faithfulness. You value faithfulness far higher than ability. You value faithfulness even above anointing. Because a person can be anointed but still not be faithful.
That's true. That's right.
They can misuse the anointing. Or they can suppress the anointing. Or they can get proud about their anointing. But faithfulness is the highest quality. Because you see, you know that when people are faithful, they are trusting the Lord. And you know also that that faithfulness is the outworking of love. Why? Because faithfulness is expressed in obedience, and obedience is the outworking of love. If you love me, you will obey me. In other words, Jesus is saying, as we saw on Sunday, if you love me, you will be faithful. So when people make the wrong choices and choose to be unfaithful, actually they've made a decision not to love God in that situation. They have made a decision to prefer self to God. Now, there's always that temptation, isn't there? But God is faithful and we don't have to yield to that temptation. He gives us the ability to withstand that. Somebody thought, hallelujah, but forgot to say it. So actually to be faithful is to walk in freedom.
Amen.
You see, what gives you peace with God? Knowing that you've been faithful to what he's asked you to do. It's as simple as that. You know, God doesn't really work in complicated ways in our lives. He works in very simple ways. He's often said to me, all you have to do is what I tell you to do. You don't have to do any more. You don't have to do any less. Just do what I tell you to do. That's all I ask of you. So wherever I send you, you go. Whatever I ask you to do, you do. Whatever I give you to say, you will say. That's all you have to do. It's actually very, very simple, the principle. And if our hearts are after God, then that's what we will do. Now, it would be easy if it wasn't for the enemy and for the flesh. And sometimes your flesh doesn't want to do what he says. And you always have the pressure of the enemy to try to divert you from what he's saying. But actually, the essence of what God says to us as to how to live the Christian life is very, very simple. My sheep hear my voice and follow me. The sons of God are led by the Spirit of God.
Right. Come on.
So it's all really very simple, isn't it? But of course, the key to faithfulness is what is in your heart. You see, a faithful person has a faithful heart. When someone chooses to be unfaithful in some way, you immediately know there's something wrong with their heart. It's not just that they've made a bad decision, but they've made a wrong decision because of something that's not right in their hearts. We can get into bondage if we make a series of wrong decisions, because that shows that there is something at that moment that is seriously wrong in the heart. And very often, it takes some kind of situation to bring us up short. And what God does is not confront us so much with what we did that wasn't right, but with the heart. He says, right, now we've got some heart work to do here. Because with a heart like that, you are not going to walk in faithfulness. Are you there? So we thank God for the ways in which he disciplines those he loves, bringing us up short and saying, hey, come on. This is not my will. It's not my purpose. It's time to bring things back into order. So faithfulness is living in God's order. So it's living in relationship with the faithful one, with Jesus. In other words, the closer your relationship with Jesus, the more faithful you will be. When you see people wandering all over the place and not walking in faithfulness, you know that something is wrong with the heart, but something is wrong with the heart because something is wrong with the relationship with the Lord. This is why Jesus said, by their fruit you will know them. Mm-hmm. You see, it's very interesting that Jesus did not talk about issues. He always addressed the heart. You know, Christians are forever talking about social issues. What does Jesus say about this, 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 and this? What does he say about slavery? What does he say about homosexuality? What does he say about this subject, that subject? Nothing or hardly anything. Why not? Wasn't he concerned about these social issues? Yes, but he knew that whatever is wrong in society is the product of wrong hearts. And the only way is not to address the situations by social action, but by addressing the heart that lies behind the need. So you see, even during the whole process of the abolition of slavery, at first, those that were contending for this were completely ignored. It was only when suddenly the whole tenor and the atmosphere changed and people began to get heart conviction that slavery was wrong, that then the whole situation changed. But you see, at first, people were trying to justify slavery because of its economic repercussions. But it was only once the heart work began that people then began to feel uncomfortable about slavery and to realize that it is not right. Now, I mean, that's just socially. But you see, as we believe God for revival for a generation, this kind of thing is going to happen more and more. It won't happen by us just wanting to take social action about various issues, but people's hearts will be addressed and they will begin to feel uncomfortable about things that at this moment in time they accept. But God needs a faithful people through whom to do that. God needs a people of right hearts. God needs servants. Faithful servants. Good and faithful servants. So we come back to the principle that Jesus taught. You only are put in charge of greater things when you have proved faithful in lesser things. I studied theology for 4 years at university. Got myself ordained. First Saturday after I was ordained, as having achieved my goal, I was a curate in this Anglican church. The vicar said, you better come and see how we take weddings here. There were six weddings, as there were all the way through the summer from March to October. Every Saturday there were six weddings. So six weddings. At the end of the six weddings, the churchyard was a mess, full of confetti. So I said to the vicar, who clears up all this mess? And he said to me, I'll show you where the broom is. And I can remember sweeping all this confetti, thinking to myself, I did not do 4 years of theology and get myself ordained to be sweeping up confetti in the churchyard. And as clearly as anything, the Spirit of God said to me, oh, yes, you did. This is where it begins. So you better sweep it up good. Why? Because if you can't be faithful in sweeping up confetti, why should God put you in charge of anything more significant? You see, I can look back and thank God for what he's done with my life, but at every point along the way, I've had to prove faithful. And if ever I've gone through a period where I haven't been as faithful as I should, I've plateaued. Until I've got back to that place with God, and then, okay, now we can go on to higher things, greater things. Hello? Now he's telling me he wants to do something new, something more, something greater in my life. Well, praise God. But he could only be saying that because he said, right, you're being faithful in what I'm asking you to do now. So now I want to do something more. So every time God says, right, I'm going to do more through you, that's actually encouraging. Because by implication, he's saying, right, you're being faithful in what I'm asking of you now. So now I can do something greater through you. So Stephen was appointed to wait on tables, to distribute the gifts to the widows, to be doing the job of a servant. He was chosen because he was a man of faith and of the Holy Spirit, the scripture says. Which is interesting to me because it shows that in the early church they thought that to qualify to distribute aid to the widows, you had to be a person of faith and of the Holy Spirit. Why? Because there was contention, you see, as to whether the Greek widows were getting as much as the Jewish widows. I mean, you would never have a dispute like that in modern church, but I mean, in those days they were sort of facing issues like this. So, Stephen fulfills this purpose. But, of course, he's distributing aid to people with needs. And he makes the mistake of praying for them, and miracles start happening.
That's true.
Wait a minute, he wasn't commissioned to do that. Oh, yes, he was, because he was proving faithful in serving the widows, so then God began to use him in greater ways. It got him stoned to death, but I mean, it was good what God was doing through him. And probably through his martyrdom, that was probably a key element in Saul's conversion. A while later. So, we prove faithful, and God puts us in charge of bigger things. You would be surprised at the number of people that have written to me, contacted me, spoken to me over the years that have wanted me to raise them up in ministry. You've got influence, you've got, you know, contacts. God is calling me to do this, 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 and this. How can you help me? And I write back and say, I can't. If that's what God is calling you to do, then God will enable it to happen. I can't make it happen. He will cause it to happen. But he will cause it to happen at the right time when you have proved faithful in whatever he asks you to do before he gives you the kind of ministry you're talking about. You know, some people get this wild idea that they're going to be a prophet to the nations because they read Jeremiah 1. Yes, Lord. I'll be a prophet to the nation. But what does God have to do in a person's life to make them a prophet to the nations? You don't come out of Bible college as a prophet to the nations. I mean, which nation is going to listen to you? Who are you that you should address a nation? You see, if that is something that God is going to do, or, you know, sometimes people come and say, oh, can you pray for me because I know God wants to raise me up as an apostle. So I say, well, I can pray for you, but I can't raise you up as an apostle. Only God can do that. And he's going to have to do a whole lot of other things in your life first before you become that. You will have to prove faithful in sweeping the confetti or whatever. And a whole lot of things in between that and becoming an apostle or having an apostolic ministry. Because, you see, ultimately, we're dealing with God, and God is dealing with us. So it doesn't work to say, Lord, I will be faithful.
Right. Very good. Very good.
See, faithfulness is never in the future. It always has to be in the present.
Come on. Very good.
So what we need to speak over our lives, as we did on Sunday, is I am faithful. I am faithful today. And I'm going to walk in faithfulness to the Word of God, to the will of God, to the purpose of God, as fully as I understand that today. Tomorrow, I will then say the same thing. Tomorrow, I will say, I will walk in faithfulness today. Faithfulness isn't something in the future. Faithfulness is now. You prove faithful in whatever God puts before you today, and then you can prove faithful in what he puts before you tomorrow and next week and next month and next year and the next decade. Because what God has built into your life is the principle that whatever he says, you will do. That's faithfulness. And the faithful one is within you, causing you to will and to do according to his good pleasure. So you trust him to enable your faithfulness. And then God will say, well done, good and faithful servant. See, Paul, this great apostle to the Gentiles, begins his letters, Paul, a servant of Christ Jesus, called to be an apostle. First and foremost, a servant. Always a servant. Son of God, yes, but a servant. You see, when people often misquote Jesus. So they say, well, I'm no longer a servant, now I'm a son. That's not what Jesus said. He said, I no longer call you servants. Now I call you sons. He didn't say you are no longer a servant.
That's right.
He says, I don't call you servant.
That's right. Very good.
I call you a son. I call you by name. I lead you by my spirit as a son.
Very good.
But you are still a servant. And remember, the word in the Greek means slave.
That's true.
So, actually, you can translate that on the day of judgment, God will say, well done, good and faithful slave. That went down well. Hallelujah. Praise God. Because a slave, you see, doesn't get paid. He's not hired. Jesus did not hire you and promise you remuneration if you're a good Christian. No, 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 no. He purchased you with his blood, which makes you a slave.
Yes.
And then calls you to follow him obediently. Yeah.
Very good. Very good.
So it's okay to think of yourself as a servant as long as you know you're a slave.
Right.
That you do not belong to yourself.
That's it. Right. Very good. Very
that you were purchased. Jesus one day went down the slave market and said, I'll have you.
Right.
And he paid... Come paid
on.
For you with his blood.
Amen.
Says, now you're mine.
Yes. Very good.
So, praise God, we are no longer slaves in chains, waiting to be purchased. We've been purchased. So now all the chains have fallen off, and we can serve with a good heart. Amen? That's freedom.
Come on.
And you see, we're free to be faithful. Well done. Good. And faithful slaves. Enter into the joy of your master. It's wonderful. I love calling Jesus master. When I'm worshiping, I often call him master. He's my master. Master is the one who tells you what to do.
That's it.
I like that. And actually, you know, that is the appeal of the Roman Catholic Church. The reason why a lot of people are Catholics is because in the Catholic Church you're told what to believe, you're told what to do.
Right.
You don't have to decide, you just have to do what you're told. You don't actually have to live by faith. You just have to do what you're told. Go to Mass and do this, that, and the other, and
exactly.
Boom.
Very good.
People like that. It's a system, you see. Oh, well, all I have to do is keep the system, and I'll go to heaven.
Yeah.
As a good Catholic.
Uh-huh.
I mean, it's full of deception, but that's the thinking.
That's it. Yep.
Because actually it does matter that you believe. Does matter that you've received the Holy Spirit. Does matter that you're born again. Does matter that you're obedient to the will of God, which is much more than just going to Mass. But actually the appeal for us should be how wonderful this Christian life is. All I have to do is what I'm told. Not by the church, but by Jesus. Not by a religious system, but by Jesus. Hallelujah. It's great. This is freedom. So, what is your perception of yourself? See, can you think of yourself as a faithful one? Can you dare to say, I am faithful? If not, why not? If not, there must be something that God wants to sort out. Mm-hmm. Because his call on your life is to be faithful. To love, to believe, to trust, to obey, to submit, to go, to pray, to worship, as a faithful one. Not because you're such a wonderful Christian, but because the faithful one lives in you to keep you blameless, living in the Word to the very end, continuing in the Word so that you will inherit eternal life. Let's all stand. Now, you've got one of two options in the next few minutes. Either thank God that you're faithful, or to bring some area of your life where you sense you're not being faithful into God's order. You've got 5 minutes to do that. To say that you're faithful and not to say you're walking in perfection. But it means with all your heart, you're seeking to be true to God's will and purpose for your life. To serve Him day by day, faithfully in what He asks of you, in what He puts before you to do, to love those He gives you to love, to serve those who are around you, to obey those who are over you, and so on. Faithful. And if there aren't any issues that you're aware of, then you can just praise God for His grace. For the way in which He has worked within you to cause you to be faithful. Always be full of joy. Keep praying all the time. Give thanks to God regardless of your circumstances. All this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. Do nothing to dampen the fire of God's Spirit within you. Do not treat genuine prophetic words from the Lord with contempt by ignoring them. Test whatever is said and hold on to what is good because it is clearly from God. Shun evil in all its forms. And may God Himself, the God of peace, cause you to be holy in every aspect of your lives so that everything about you in spirit, soul, and body will be kept blameless in God's eyes at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. He who has called you is the faithful one. and he will work this in you. Hallelujah. So thank the Lord that the faithful one is working in you. Purata pakarasituba. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. You can say to the Lord, Lord, I trust you to enable me to live day by day as a faithful slave, as a faithful servant. Serving you, serving others, serving those around me. Blessing, giving, encouraging, building up. Forgiving when necessary. Being merciful, full of grace, full of love. Trusting you at all times. Thank you, Lord. This is the person you've made me. This is the person I am. Come on, this is Christ in you, isn't it? Hallelujah. This is the person I am. Now just stand against every crosswind. Everything that would seek to blow you off course. The devil wants you to have a crash landing, but you're not going to be blown off course. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Purata pakara situri satu pakara situri santo. Varataparia situri saratoria lerabakara situri sas. Thank you, Jesus. Soturi sataria lerabakara situri sanduma. Omparazatoria saratu bakara situri sanduma. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Purataparia situri saratoria lerabakara situri santo. Yes, 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 yes. Parati parea sato parasoturi sarataria lerabakara situri santo. Burataparia satori satori satu bakara situri santo. Burataparia situri sataria lerabakara situri santo. Come on, Lord. Purata paria zato bakara sitri sando bakara sitri sato. Bapara zataria leto bakara sitri sando. Opa para zataria leto bakara sitri sando. Bapara zataria leto bakara sitri sato bakara sitri sando. Bapara zataria leto bakara sitri sato bakara sitri sando. O papara zataria lerabakara sitri sanduma. Bo para zataria lerabakara sitri santo bakara sitri satuma. Bo para zataria lerabakara sitri sanduma. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Purata paria zatubakara sita balatuba. Yes, 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 yes. Purata para zata para sitri satu bakara sitri sam. Now say to the Lord that he can trust you. Thank you, Lord, that you have made me a trustworthy person. So you can trust me with little things. See, that's still a trust from God, isn't it? He has at least already trusted you with little things. You're not burying your talent in the ground. He has entrusted you with little things. Now thank him that you're proving faithful in the little things, because he's preparing you for greater things. Lord, I want to be able to pass the test, that whatever you place before me, I will be faithful so that I can progress in your purposes onto higher and greater things in the future. And I praise you. I bless you, Jesus. Now, if you already have in your heart a word from God about ways in which he's going to use you in the future, I mean, you may not have that yet. It doesn't matter whether you do or not. But if you have, then just thank God that he's going to lead you into that step by step as you prove faithful each step along the way. So just thank him that the faithful one will lead you to the fulfillment of that word that God has spoken to you. That he's not a man that he would lie. If this is a real word from God, he will work it in you. Hallelujah. Some of us in the second year were looking at Abraham and how God gave his promises to Abraham, because he was a person of faith. And Abraham knew in his heart that the promises of God would be fulfilled. Even if he himself didn't live to see all that God had promised, he knew the promises would be fulfilled. Hallelujah. Why? When God promises something, he already sees it as accomplished. So let's thank God that he is faithful in fulfilling his word. He is faithful in fulfilling his promises. Hallelujah. So he is proving faithful in us taking our Jerichos, faithful in the abundance, faithful in the harvest. Amen. We've proved faithful in going over. Now he is going to take a faithful people to inherit the land. So come on, let's give him all the glory, all the honor, all the praise. Right, now, let's just kick the devil out of court, right? Because he's the one that will whisper in your ear, you're not faithful. Look at this, look at that, look at the other. He'll say, look at yourself. You're not faithful. How can you that be going on in your life, your faith? Just say, I am the faithful one, you are not. And I'm not going to be seduced by any of your lies. I'm not going to listen to any of your deception. All you do is twist the truth, Satan. I believe the truth. I am a person of the truth. I am a person of the word. I am a person of the spirit. I am one of God's faithful servants. Hallelujah. Yes. Yes, 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 yes. Praise you, Lord. Hallelujah. So just turn around to all those around you and say to them, Saint Faithful, you are blessed.
I think we'll have one song to rejoice. We've got to rejoice over this, because this is so good, isn't it? I mean, it just kicks all the devil's lies out of court, doesn't it? He's wanting us to look at ourselves, and you know, it's like a white sheet, right? And in the middle of the white sheet, there's just a little black dot. And what do you notice on the white sheet? The black dot. But what does Satan do? He says, look at the dot. And you say, no, Satan, look at the sheet. Because you don't have a white sheet, you've only got a black one. And there's no white dots on your black sheet. There might be one or two black dots on my white sheet, but my sheet's white. Amen. And even the black dots are forgiven. Hallelujah. So praise God. Thank you, Jesus. Yes.
Thank you for listening to this Kingdom Faith podcast. We trust it's been an encouragement to you. For more information and resources by Kingdom Faith, and for our other audio and video podcasts, please visit kingdomfaith.com.